Welcome to the Bringing Intimacy Back Show, where intimacy is real. If you desire to intimately connect with yourself, your significant other, children, family, friends, community, and your higher power, this show is for you. Thus, we explore intimate topics, inspiring life stories, spirituality, and insightful tips on strengthening relationships. This show is hosted by Dr. April and her co-host, Dr. Kelly. Now let's get this episode of the Bringing Intimacy Back Show started, because we share with you the secret power to intimacy to create a life you love, or love the life you create. Now here's your host, Dr. April, and co-host, Dr. Kelly.
Hi, welcome to the Bringing Intimacy Back Show. Happy New Year, guys, and welcome. So happy you guys are joining us. So this podcast right here and this show here is for those, if you're wanting a more intimate relationship with your loved ones, your friends, your higher power, yourself, this is the show for you. That is why I created this show. And this show here, you know what, guys? It is in its 10th season, and I am so blessed that many of you have been following me and have been listening to me. And so I truly, truly am honored about that. And so for today, and since we're starting off the year of 2021, I have a new topic that I wanted to talk about. It's intimacy through discernment and its aspect on the eighth dimension of wellness. And when I want to talk about this discernment, intimacy through discernment, it's because that actually helped me create this show. Okay, the show here, like I said, it's 10 years, and it was created through discernment, through praying about it and through thinking about it and through talking with loved ones. Yes, the show was created. And so discernment really means the ability to obtain sharp insight. And that's what we're going to talk about today. And of course, intimacy, which I've always talked about, is that strong bond, learning to meet, you see. So last year, I was also discerning about this show here because I knew it was coming up to the 10 years. And I was like, oh my gosh, how can I make this show better? And that some of you guys gave me some great feedback and stuff, and so which was really good. And so one of the things that I thought about is having a co-host. Yes, a co-host. And I wanted to have someone that has something similar than I do, but also different, because this world is a variety of different types of personalities and different people, and that really helps us when we are able to see a mixture of things. And so guess what? I just thought about it and discerned about it. I'm going to talk a little bit more about that. And then I said, you know what? It came just walking in my door one day. Let me just put it that way. It just came walking in my door. Okay. And so I'll let her explain that. I would love to welcome Dr. Kelly. Yes, Dr. Kelly Boucher is my co-host to the Bringing Intimacy Back Show. Welcome, Dr. Kelly.
Thank you. It's good to be here, Dr. April, and I'm looking forward to being a part of this. And as far as it walking in your door, that was me. And for those of you that are watching and listening, I walked into a door right after I made a wrong turn. And I was leaving the gym. I had met with my trainer and quite simply made a wrong turn. I thought, hey, I'm near April. Let me go see Dr. April Brown and see what she's up to. And just walked in the door, and I had come from a trainer. I had sweat on my brow, and I had a messed up haircut because somebody made a mistake on my hair and literally shaved me with the number one. And that means partly bald. And that was the day that you asked me to be a part of your show as a co-host. And I'm so glad.
Yes. And I actually like your new haircut.
Oh, yes. Thank you.
Yes.
Yeah. It's especially fun in the morning. I'm glad you like it. I do too. I do.
Yes, yes. Well, let's take the audience back a little bit to that journey, because besides her walking into my door, yes, Dr. Kelly and I have known each other for how long now?
Well, were you at Hodges before I, when was your first year?
I think I came after. I came in 2010.
Okay. 2010. Okay. So then I've known you for 10 years. 10
oh
11.
My gosh. Yes.
Yes. We, you were the director of counseling, and yes. I was at that time full-time for applied psychology. So yes. Yeah, we both worked in the same university.
Yes. Yes, which is great.
And we were on the diversity committee together, and we had many different times that we intersected, and I was always so happy about that. Mm-hmm. Truly.
Right, right. And one of the reasons why Dr. Kelly is on the show, and it's also a blessing, It's because she has the same kind of belief system in the sense of discernment, which is kind of what we're going to talk about today. Yes. Yeah. And how we think about, pray about things. You know, sometimes it's, especially we're in a new year right now, and there's so many things happening. And sometimes you have to slow it down and think about things and, you know, contemplate and go through a process.
Yes. You know, part of that process too, going back to when I said yes to you, I in using discernment, because I said to you that day, if you remember when I said yes, you said, are you willing to be vulnerable? And I said, yes. And I didn't even know you were interviewing me. Like, are you willing to be vulnerable at this time in your life? I'm like, sure I am. And then you had said, well, I've been interviewing co-hosts, and I just really, it just, like you said, it came to you. And I was like, be your co-host. I said, April, normally I'd have to pray about that, which is an act of discernment. Like, you can make decisions in isolation, just if they don't affect anybody but you. Like, hey, what am I going to have for lunch?
Right.
But then there's decisions that'll affect you in your relationship with other people. And I specifically do pray for answers. But when you know that you're in the right path and you make a wrong turn and it gets you to the right place, and it just was like, it hit me right there. And I'm so grateful that I had been praying about that before you even asked me, praying about what to do and how to impact people with my life and my ministry.
Awesome. Yeah. And yeah, you just mentioned how it just hits you right there. And kind of like when you're discerning about stuff, it's your body, mind, spirit, and soul all feel kind of connected. You know what I mean by that?
I do.
Yeah.
Because when one is off, the other two are as well.
Right. And we have many people today, because of how the world is, they're just hurting or going through a lot of different things or facing difficult challenges, and they don't know which way to turn.
Yes. Sometimes it's very clear, this is the way, walk in it. And other times it is very blurry. And all you can do is you can pray. And sometimes we don't get the same answers that we would like, and maybe they're not visible, but we can use discernment at that time, knowing, hey, this is the answer. And other times you just have to pray longer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's hard sometimes to wait for things and before things can actually happen and stuff. Yeah. And we've all had to go through that. Yes. And so with this show, and Dr. Kelly and I have been talking through the fall of 2020, we've made a lot of updates recently on the show. Yes. So if you're looking at the podcast, you would see that we have a new cover art. And the other thing that I want to say is that we decided to go weekly. So if you're listening to the show, we're going to be with you guys weekly, which is great. Yeah. Good. And then the other part, we are also joining a podcast network called Pink Kangaroo, which is just going to help us get the show out better. And starting in March, for all you women who are out there listening, Dr. Kelly and I are going to have a membership to a special little club to provide you guys with unique resources and tools and stuff to help you through your day-to-day struggle. So, and there's going to be a lot of different new things there. So look out for that. The other thing that we're going to start be doing in this show is to highlight different nonprofit organizations. And so one of the ones that I really wanted to highlight, it's because with all this coronavirus and stuff, it's our nurses, you know? And yes, and so the American Nurses Foundation, which is www.nursingworld.org/foundation, they do a great job. You know what they do, Kelly?
No, I do not.
Okay, well, let me tell you what they do.
Do they help nurses or people?
Yes. No, they help nurses.
Nurses are people, but...
Yeah, they help nurses. But when you donate to them, they will actually help nurses get mental health services, which it's necessary.
Wow.
Because I don't know if you've seen some nurses in your practices, but I have.
You can have compassion fatigue. Yes.
But all they're going through. Yeah. And they also help them get the resources and the tools and the PPE equipment, which is great because some hospitals and places may not have those type of equipment. So that's a good thing. Yeah. And they also help. And some nurses are financially struggle. So it's a good thing. So definitely.
That's marvelous. I think that's exceptional. My cousin is a nurse. I have many friends that are nurses. I just think that is an exceptional organization.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah, yeah. So I'm really proud that we're going to be highlighting the American Nurses Foundation. Definitely, yes. So back to our topic today. So our topic today is about intimacy through discernment. Do those things like sound a little nuts right there, that part?
Well, the discernment and intimacy, it's like, okay, intimacy, but you said it earlier, you said intimacy is into me, you see.
Right.
So that's a part of our inner reflection, I think.
Right, right, right. And we're going to also highlight the eighth dimension of wellness, which is really,
yes.
Yes, yeah. When you see intimacy, how do you see it?
Well, I believe that intimacy, your very first person that you need to have an intimacy with, even scripture says, love your neighbor as yourself. So it's not implying that you can't love yourself. And I've often said that people do a poor job of loving their neighbor because they do a poor job of loving themselves. Yeah. And so you have to put yourself first. But so often, including nurses and other women, they do not put themselves first. And even on an airplane, I don't know when you traveled last, but I traveled recently. And it said, if the oxygen mask dropped, put it on others first. No, it said to put it on yourself first and then help other people. But all too often, we don't do that.
Right, right, right. And I don't know. I mean, I hear so many stories of, and I can be guilty of it myself, of just being overwhelmed, trying to do everything for everybody. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And just doing this, running around doing this, but not taking care of ourselves. And we're thinking, well, if I stand up and say, no, I can't do this, or I really have to go take care of myself, then everybody's going to see me as selfish or, you know, the B word or whatever.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Nobody wants to be perceived as a boy.
Mm-hmm.
Just kidding. No, I'm teasing. No, you don't want to be perceived as that. And, you know, we're taught early that we need to say yes to things. And mm-hmm. it's all also difficult why people have a hard time with B as in boundaries, saying no to things. And sometimes when people ask you to do something, you just need to say, I have plans. And that plan is for you to do something for yourself.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
And have the discernment to stay home and do something for yourself, like rest.
Right. Exactly. Well, we're going to take a short break, but when we come back, we're going to go into the deep topics and go more about intimacy through discernment and the eight wellness.
Ha ha. I just infiltrated Dr. April's show. Hey, do you want to have an awesome podcast like April has? Well, my name is Adam Adams. And yes, that's my real name, Adam Adams. I know it's crazy, but I'm the guy that helps people launch podcasts. I help you launch a podcast, and if you have one and you don't have the downloads that you need, we do a lot of marketing for other people's podcasts and help them finally get ranked. The third and final thing that we can do is we can do all the back office post-production for you and your show. We do a great job. If you're interested in launching a show, getting all that post-production off your plate, or growing your show so that it actually gets downloads, listens, ratings, and reviews, then I'm your guy. And since you're a listener of Dr. April's show, just go to mypodcast.website. That's mypodcast.website and enter Dr. April at checkout.
Thank
I
you
like for that, Adam Adams.
Yes, yes. And Adam Adams is wonderful. Yes, definitely. Well, thank you for coming back for the Bringing Intimacy Back show, where intimacy is real. And today what we're talking about is intimacy through discernment and the eight aspects of wellness. The last time you just defined intimacy and we talked about discernment, but we haven't really talked about wellness. Dr. Kelly, when you hear the word wellness, what do you think about?
Well, typically I think mental wellness. And right. I think innately we think about physical health. So that's number one thing that people think about when they think, are you healthy? If I ask a person, are you healthy? What are you going to say? Well, normally you think about the way you look and, you know, not necessarily other things. Like there are eight dimensions of the wellness. And this is based on Swarbrick's research. And it had been published in the Psychiatric Rehabilitation Journal. And there's eight dimensions of wellness. And they are physical. So it's not just physical, but it's spiritual, social, intellectual, emotional, and mental. occupational, environmental, and financial. So there they are. There's not just one. It's not just physical.
Wow, yes. And so many of our listeners are probably thinking about New Year's resolutions. You know that, right? Like, oh my gosh, how can I, and now that we labeled all these eight dimensions of wellness, how can I get wellness in all these things? Which kind of goes back into thinking about discernment.
Yeah, how can you discern what your greatest need is? I mean, I personally think that when it comes to, you know, these, we can have a list. Life is a list for some people.
Right.
And we need to cut ourselves a little bit of a break. But going back to the discernment, you had said, you know, we have to exercise discernment for self. And that means what would be best for us.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, obviously, if we, you know, are physically healthy, it is. But what about financial debt? We're going off of 2020 when many people, their finances were impacted so greatly that they're probably still recovering or will be recovering into 2023.
Right.
Many people had to even live off of credit cards and they never did before. And other people were accustomed to it. All that to say that everybody's at an individual place. And I think that we just need to say, to be gentle with ourselves and others. And so pick one of those. So you ask somebody what their New Year's resolution is, 9 times out of 10, it's something to do with exercise and gym. And no. How about if we look at another dimension? What about your mental health, your mental wellness? You used the word overwhelmed earlier. Give me an example of something like what's overwhelming as you approach the new year, Dr. April.
What's overwhelming? I think for many of us, it's just the whole election thing that was just overwhelming, I guess. But then also, it's just the balancing of work and home life. That can be sometimes overwhelming. And actually also what you mentioned about, you know, finances, for a lot of people, they're struggling. Yeah,
they are. They really are. And, you know, sometimes we do have to humble ourselves and get the resources.
Mm-hmm.
We have to ask for help. And if people ask, hey, do you need anything? It is so hard for some people who have never said, acknowledge what their needs are to somebody else. And this is the time to do that.
Right. Right.
Be vulnerable and use discernment and say, it's okay. They really do want to help. They've asked.
Right. Right. And that's exactly the word I was going to use is being vulnerable. Because when someone asks and you're like, oh my gosh, I don't want them to see my problems. I don't want to see anything. But one of the things about COVID is that it brought the whole world together. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, it did. I mean,
we can't be ashamed of it. Yeah, because all of us are going through it.
I had a visual of when you said that of Italy, when the people, they showed the buildings and they were singing outside of their windows and they weren't allowed on the streets, but inside, you know, and then they were singing to one another and somebody was playing an instrument. And do you remember that visual?
Right. I remember that. Yes.
Cool. And that brought some communities together. And yes, of course, we'll probably talk at the end of the show, I'm sure, of what's happening even recently as of last evening in our country.
Right.
But yes, it has brought us together. And some people might say, really brought us together? I mean, this is horrible. Because in fact, some homes have been torn apart because of different beliefs, you know. And that's where you really need to exercise discernment. And I think a spiritual wellness of just trusting that when things are outside of your control, that your higher power or God or whatever that higher power is to you. For me, it's God, that we can trust. And it's outside of ourselves and that somebody outside of ourselves is in control.
Mm.
You know, Dr. April, I talked earlier about the oxygen mask when you fly and it drops,
put it
on your, you know, yourself first. But let's go back to that same illustration of a plane. I didn't get on that plane and think to myself that because I couldn't see the pilot that he didn't exist. And because I didn't understand the Bernoulli principle of what makes a plane stay airborne, I don't understand that.
Right.
But by faith, I got in there and I said, I'm going to trust this. And, you know, but we just need to set back and say spiritual wellness is trusting when things are outside of our control, that there is a God or a higher power or a spiritual being, whatever it is for you. And I'm sure that you put what your faith, your spirituality is very important to you.
Right. Right.
Right, Dr. April.
Oh, yes, it is. It is. And as you're saying that, but I'm thinking of some of these people who, how can I put it? If you have faith. You think, oh my gosh, the world is going to be beautiful. Everything is going to go well. But then all this happens and you're like, how in the world can someone, whether you call it higher power, God or whatever, be in control when the world is out of control? Which goes back to what you're saying is, how do we deal with things that we're not in control of? You know, we just get so like, oh my gosh.
Yeah. Well, many of us have learned at a young age that depending upon how you grew up,
right?
Maybe you had a parent that was in control. They often say that our view of God is our view of our biological father is how we view God.
Right.
So if I didn't have a father, I could ask for things. So my prayers of supplication and asking somebody for help, I have a hard time with. You can't say, hey, can I have a 20? You know,
right.
Or if you had an absent father or one that abandoned you. So we can get back to that. Is God really a father? And is he in control?
Mm-hmm.
And what if you had a punitive father? Is it authoritarian? The one that's strict?
Right.
Yeah. So just not a lot's in our control.
And really, it's in our spirit. Yeah. Because we're really looking inside. And that's what, for many of us, kind of helps us when we talk about discernment, is having that faith, but listening into that inner spirit. Because in each of us, I believe each of us, there's good in us. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. We're all just like little children. We want to be happy. We want to do this. And sometimes because we want certain things, our little selfish nature comes out in our behavior. But in reality, we all have, you know, really, really good hearts.
Yeah. And I just, when I see people that have these beautiful hearts and they get discouraged, nothing's worse than depression and rejection together. It's dejection.
Yes.
And when people become like, their crushed spirit. Even scripture says that there's nothing worse than a crushed spirit. Who can bear it?
Right.
So that's one thing I think that we are, we do have some situations that are happening in ourselves through this stress and just trauma and the overwhelming stuff. Because you know who you are when you're under stress. And I had a few mirrors held up to me and I didn't like. Mm-hmm. I heard myself say I said Jesus' name and I wasn't praying. Let me just say it. I'm just being vulnerable.
Right.
And it's just like, oh my gosh. I got in my car after I couldn't nail something and it was out of my control. And I just was like, ugh, you know? And I was like, whoa, I don't like this person.
Mm-hmm.
So what am I going to do?
Right. And that's happened to me because I'm always go, go, go. And sometimes when things don't go the right way or you're like, oh my gosh, nothing is, you just get kind of negative. You know, and these thoughts come. Yeah.
You just don't want them to attach. You can be honest. We can be honest and we can say, this sucks.
Right.
But don't let the negativity be like Velcro. I mean, I was able to observe some people in the last year that it seemed like the only thing they wanted to talk about were negative things. I don't mind talking about things that aren't positive, but I don't want a negative spin on everything.
Right.
We call it in counseling reframing. So I would try to say, so is there a different way that we can look at this? You know?
Right.
But like some people like to stay there.
Yeah. Like you said, it actually starts up here in the mind of that talking to yourself, of what you're saying to yourself. And I say a lot in therapy, you really honestly have to be your best friend. You know, that's how you have to talk to yourself. A negative thought may come through and say, oh, you know, you don't deserve anything. But if you pull that thought down and just like, really, I don't deserve this and I don't deserve this, and you just add more things to it, of course you're going to be depressed and down. You have to let that thought go through. You know what that was shocking? I don't think many people realize that all of us get negative thoughts. Have you realized that some people think if they get a negative thought, like, oh my gosh, they must be bad? But in reality, our world has so much negativity. And it comes into our subconscious, so it comes to our conscious, but it's what you do with that that creates the mental health wellness.
Right. Thoughts become actions. It's cognitive behavioral therapy is based on like Proverbs, as a man thinks, so he is. So if you think it, you're going to act on it. So thoughts become actions, actions, habits, habits, addictions, and addictions alike. So you want to change something about your life, change your thinking.
Right.
I can't remember who it was. I think his name was Bob Dowie from Word of Life. He was a guest speaker there. And he used to call it stinking thinking. I'm sure he wasn't the first person to call it that. But yeah,
right.
We have to watch that.
So if you can do it that way, you can also do it with goals or things that you want to achieve in.
Yeah. Do you have what's your word of the year? Every year you've had a word of the year.
Oh, yes. Yes. And I haven't posted the word of the year this year.
I want to know. I'm want to curious.
Yes. So my word of the year, and I thought about it. I was like, oh my gosh, I haven't blogged about that. This year is fearless.
Right on.
Yes. 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 I'm just not going to be fearful of anything anymore. And I think last year, especially with all this COVID and all this, it's just had us all secluded in a lot of fear. Okay. So I'm still taking, you know, precautions, of course, and wearing masks and that kind of stuff. But I'm not going to be fearful of what my higher power feels that has for me. I'm not going to say, oh, I don't know if I can do that. That's not going to be. I'm going to go for it.
Good. So. I'm glad you are. I see you right on that. I mean, you've been there 10 years. You know what? I'm like right here during the creme de la creme time. I mean, this is the icing on the cake. You have all the ingredients.
Yes.
And I'm not just saying that to make you feel good. I'm saying I love cake. I'm glad I'm in it, you know, in this. Because all the ingredients and all your tenacity and what you have pushed through in a decade, they even say a business takes 5 years to really get off the ground. And you've doubled that. And now we're going through into Dr. April, one of the most critical times in our history and even in our own personal lives. And fear can keep us up. It can rob us of our physical health because we're not sleeping. And yes, we need to exercise discernment. Like you said, wear a mask and all these things. But it's so counterproductive if you let fear grab a hold of you because it lowers our immunity.
Right, definitely. Yes, yeah. And so some years ago, I went through a weight loss. I gained a lot of weight, and then I was praying about it and discerning about it or whatever, and talking to God about it, and then eating cookies, more cookies and more cookies. And one time I was at a convention and I was eating a cookie. Oh, no, so I meant to go get the cookie. Yes, yes, cookies is something I love. So I went to go get the cookie. The cookie dropped. So I said, okay, well, I'm going to go back and get another cookie. The cookie dropped, and then the third cookie drop, and I said, I got it, Lord. It requires action.
Whoa.
Okay. So.
What kind of cookies were they?
The big ones with oatmeal and chocolate chip.
You dropped three?
Three before I realized that, yes, yes. So lost weight, fast forward, got busy, started gaining weight again. So back at another stance of the whole weight thing. And talked with my doctor, and they sent me this thing about intermittent fasting. And I said, no, I can't do that. I'm fearful of that. I can't do that. Exercise, so busy, yes. But it was through that God hit me in the head and said, you know, it's the physical, it's the mental, it's all of it, April. You got to, you know, discern about it, get serious action, you know, and put myself on a plan. And that's what I've been doing recently. And yes, and I'm not fearful of working out. I was fearful that if I didn't get enough sleep, I would fall in the machine. I don't know. I come up with these crazy the reasons why not to work out. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I can't work out on the day that I work because I have to work long. You know, just you make up stuff.
Yeah, but sounds like that was a lot of work trying to find a reason not to go. You might as well just get up and go. But you're right. It does require action.
Yeah,
similar to another one of the mental wellness things is social. Mm-hmm. And I think that, yes, COVID has impacted us because we lost our social. And so many people were isolating and beyond what was necessary.
Right.
I mean, quite honestly, let's be direct because I'm not going to just be saying things to be PC or whatever. I mean, this is truly... I believe that isolation can affect people greatly. And so the social wellness has to do with the fact that we need other people. In fact, even the Trinity is a relationship, you know? So we are made for relationship. And if you actually isolate too much, it could be so counterproductive to your mental wellness as well.
Mm-hmm. And I think people were isolating and still sometimes are isolating because they don't want other people to know what's going on.
What about speaking of weight gain? I've gained a lot of weight. I was pushing a quarter ton. I'm not kidding. And I'm only 5 foot tall. And I isolated from family. And many people didn't even know how big I had really actually gotten. They didn't. And until they saw pictures, they had no clue. And some people never saw me when I was heavy. And other people never saw me when I was thin.
Right.
So it was kind of bizarre. And it's this thing, that fear of what will other people think. I'm supposed to be a healthy doctor, you know, or I'm supposed to be a healthy counselor. No. And so you isolate and then it makes it worse. We were designed for a relationship.
Yeah. I think, we were born into a relationship, you know, cause you were connected to your mother. Yeah. And that's kind of where the first intimacy part started.
Not only for me, I'm a twin. So I had my first womb mate was my twin brother. So I had that relationship there with my mother, needing her to sustain me. And then I had my very first best friend.
Yeah, awesome.
So yeah, that's neat.
Yeah. It's definitely the different connections and that kind of stuff is really, really important. Yeah. Good. I know we've talked a lot about some of the dimensions. One of the ones we haven't quite talked a little bit about, but we have in some aspect, has been the emotional, which we haven't named it. But taking care of your emotional wellness is critical. And we've talked about being with people helps. One other good thing that also helps is, you know, just writing, journaling.
Yeah, it's expressing really yourself. Yes. You know, when I heard somebody say that when we talk about emotional situations, we have an option. We have three options. We can either suppress it and deny, you know, and say it shows its ugly head and we push it down, how we feel, our emotional feelings. Or we can repress it, deny it as even happening. And or we can express it and use our words, whether it's journaling or saying it out loud to ourselves or a close friend. And that's emotional wellness too.
Right. Yeah, definitely. Some other tips. We also haven't talked about intellectual.
You know, I was doing a little bit of preparation for this and I was like thinking, well, you know, everybody thinks intellectual, it has to do with, you know, your IQ, but it really has to do with the desire to be well is to expand our knowledge, whether it is actually to read something. And I know you like to read, I do as well, but read something or expand your knowledge. And that also can involve social, where you spend time with other people because we learn so much from other people if we're willing to do that. But it's not just IQ, that's, you know, intellectual, but connecting and expanding our knowledge with things that we're interested in. And that's healthy.
Right. And that would also challenge us to maybe even read or get to know about things that we may not even be interested in, but it expands us and it keeps us younger. You know what I'm saying? And for some of us who have children and stuff or teenagers and you're like, oh my gosh, I don't understand them. Jump into their world. You know what I'm saying? Play a video game.
It's a whole different language.
Yes.
You know, I'm not a parent, but I, some of my teen clients, I've learned so much from.
Yeah.
I know how to spell bruh now and everything. But no, they're.
How do you spell it?
B-R-U-H.
Okay. And what does that mean?
It's like brother.
Oh, brother. Okay. Bruh. Okay. Yeah,
like, it's not spelled B-R-A. But the thing is that I learned so much from them. And so I'm just willing to listen. And that shows respect as well. So you build a rapport with everybody, not just your clients, but with people that you work in. And that's another one of the eight dimensions of wellness. And that has to do with occupational.
Right.
Occupational wellness. And so that, and that's tied to our purpose and whether or not you really feel like you're, some people don't feel like they're valued at work.
Right.
And so you can say, okay, is what you do tied to who you are? It may be what you do, but it's not who you are. So that's one thing that you can just release and say, I'm going to go and I get to leave after 8 hours and you really do get to leave your work at work, then I kind of envy that.
Right. And something with work, for some people, they have these ideas that they have in their head about maybe I should do this, I should start this, I should do this, but they become fearful. They're like, no, no. Like when I thought about bringing intimacy back, I was like being on a show, talking to people out there, because even the whole counseling is a whole different aspect for me because I'm very shy, but it was in my spirit and I followed through. So for anybody who's out there listening, yeah, if you have an idea, go try for it. Yeah, put it out there. Try it. Do it.
You couldn't help it. You just had to do it. You couldn't not do it. You had to do it.
Right.
Yeah. And here you are shy.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. And yeah. Yeah. And interesting today, I was working out this morning and of course the news is on and stuff. And then someone was saying, if you don't really like what's going on in politics right now, get up and start to run for local or state things. Yeah, they were calling people to, come on, people, yeah. So, and that was like, wow, that's kind of inspiring. Not for me, of course, that's not something I want to do. But for people, and even yourself, as you've been inspired to, you know, do all the things that you do.
Yeah, I had to speak, you know, I do motivational speaking. I just have to. I love to encourage people, come right alongside of them, because I've been there. I have been there. I've experienced a lot of grief in my life. And initially it just about did me in. And I thought, you know what, I'm going to share this. And so I like to come alongside of people that are grieving and help them. And I do love motivational speaking. But funny thing is, when I was a young girl, I couldn't even say my L's. I didn't stutter, but I couldn't say Kelly, and my name is Kelly Lynn. I had a little raspy voice. I cut my own hair. It's all short. If you go to my website, you'll see I have this short hair. I have two pictures. I always want to remember where I've come from. Right. And just the fact that we all have a different gift. And who nobody would have ever thought, certainly not my teachers, that I would have become a doctor, let alone a public speaker, because I couldn't even say my name. So when you go out there and you walk out on that ledge of just knowing that you're not alone and you have a purpose for your life, that's something. I'm glad you're living yours.
Yes, and I'm glad you are too. And so now we're going to take a short break and we're going to actually hear about Dr. Kelly. And we'll take a short commercial break and we'll be back in a few minutes.
Hello. This is Dr. Kelly Boucher. I'm the founder of Sheriff Counseling and Conference Ministries. I have a PhD in psychology. I'm a licensed mental health counselor and a board certified in telemental health. It is my joy to come alongside people when they are in anxiety and stress and feeling overwhelmed and help them to find a different perspective. We are body, we are mind, and we are spirit. All too often, we treat the mind and the body and forsake the spirit. Go to drkellyboucher.com for more information.
All right. Yes.
Did you see that haircut?
Yes, I did. So cool. So cool. So now we're going to go into a little segment about questions. If you have a question, feel free to, of course, call at 1-888-627-6008. And I know we have had some questions from social media. I think, Kelly, do you have questions that people have asked?
I did have someone ask what spirituality was. Mm-hmm. Renee from Pennsylvania.
Okay. So in spirituality, you can look at it, and I think you have to look at it full circle. I mean, this is my definition, just being blah. Spirituality for me is connecting with the creator of all of this. But it's connecting with the creator. And I know when connect, and I know I'm putting my hand this way, it's like they're out there, but they're also inside because they created you. So they created all of this and they created you. And that is what spirituality, getting to have to deepen that relationship. So you can actually feel and spiritually hear their presence. Because if someone's created all this, then they kind of have a little bit more insight, a lot more insight into what's going on in your life, you know? And so sometimes when you're in great communication, they can help you with that and help you in your choices. So that's my definition of spirituality.
I like that. I really do. And when you're talking about if they designed it, then they know it better. I just bought a Jeep Comanche and okay. 1990. It's an antique.
Yes.
And it didn't come with a manual.
So
I took it for a trip to Michigan. I'm like, where is everything? I don't know where everything is. I'm still trying to find it. Because I don't have the manual. Because a lot of people do, when they think about spirituality, they'll think about a building, you know, that you have to go to church. But I walked in a garage and I didn't become a car.
Right.
So it really is not about that. It's where it's a personal relationship. I have another question here.
Okay.
The question is, what is bringing intimacy back? What type of intimacy? Jody in Ohio.
Okay, Jody, thank you so much for asking that question. So when we talk about intimacy, we talk about a variety of intimacy. So there's, of course, when most people think about intimacy, they think the sex, you know, sexual intimacy, okay? Mm-hmm. But there's also the emotional intimacy, meeting with people emotionally, feeling that. There's also a variety of intimacies, such as creative intimacy, working together on a creative project together. There's work intimacy, where people actually work together. There's friendship intimacy, you know, where people have good, you know, you go and you laugh and you have friendship and all that kind of stuff. There's a variety of different types of intimacy that is developed. So when we talk about it, we talk about the whole group. Sometimes a show will focus on one, but I'm including everything. Of course, there's spiritual intimacy, you know, connecting with your higher power. One of the intimacies that Dr. Kelly and I talked about on a previous show a long time ago was cultural intimacy, you know, which is something that is extremely important, as we've seen from last year until now, you know, connecting with different cultures, getting to see how things are from their perspective, sharing your perspective, finding common ground, appreciating and enjoying the differences. Yes. And even just what Kelly and I are talking about, and even just you guys out there listening, we're creating intimate bonds because we're sharing and talking and creating a connection. Yes.
Because we have to have those safe places, which is another part of the wellness, environmental wellness. And that has to do with finding those environments where you do feel safe. Mm-hmm. And friends that you feel safe with. And I'm sure we're going to have some episodes. We're having in March, Pam Lau that's coming. And she's a friend of mine from, I have not seen her since her wedding.
Wow.
And then my best friend from college.
Right.
Who is coming this month, Sherry Belmont.
Right.
And so you have friendship intimacy, and you have to have those environments where you feel safe that you can say, you know, we come from different cultures, right?
Right.
April, and that's obvious. But to what degree do we? Some people actually may have more in common with teenagers. Have more in common with a teenager in Japan than they do their own parents. Sometimes,
right.
You know, because so there's a culture that's not just has to do with ethnicity.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes because we're so afraid to make a mistake or be politically correct, we won't talk and get to know somebody. Well, you know, you're at a party, maybe New Year's Eve or wherever, and they're like, you want to say hi, but you can't remember their name. So you don't say hi. Well, you just go up and say, I can't remember your name.
Just be honest. But,
yeah, you want to talk to them. I mean, hello, are you supposed to know everything? Do you have like a idiot, that photographic memory,
mm-hmm.
you know, that you're supposed to remember everything? No, we're all... But we're afraid that they're not going to, you know, we forgot who they were and we should know who they are. And so it limits our ability to have a relationship or a deeper relationship. I think.
And since you mentioned the environment, it just brought me back into the current atmosphere, you know, of what happened yesterday.
Yeah. Where did you pick when you went to sleep? Where, what was happening when you were going to sleep? What image that you saw on the television just, I'm at a loss for words.
Me too. I'm at a loss for words. Yeah. Yeah. Just the rage. The rage is what, yes. Yeah. And we've been talking about, you know, intimacy and connecting with people. And then there's this rage of anger of trying to destroy things and stuff was just heartbreaking. And seeing people, the congressmen and all of them trying to, you know, protect themselves. And it was just, it's just heartbreaking. Yeah.
Just
people
weren't thought.
Feeling safe.
Oh,
yeah,
no.
People were not feeling safe at all.
When they talked about the Capitol building and they said that they were shuffling the congressmen and the senators and they were shuffling them into these buildings, you know, these rooms within the Capitol and that they didn't have a lot of spaces, I just pictured these men and women with dignity huddling up in a closet or in a small room like they were elementary school students afraid to be shot.
Right.
And I thought,
it reminded me of those students.
Yeah, it did. And I thought, my heart just went, I was like, my God, really?
Right.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
No. Something right. has to change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Whatever side you fall on, it's always the right thing to do the right thing.
Right.
Like, it doesn't matter what side you fall on. We know right and we know wrong. And that was wrong.
Right.
Just wrong.
Right. Right. And I think people need to, because remember we just talked about culture, intimacy, or even political intimacy. We need to start to be able to connect with people who believe something different than we do. And
yeah.
That's okay. And not be afraid and not, you know what I'm saying? Not use violence.
Did you have anybody that said, because you believe this way, I can't be friends with you? Did you have that happen? I did.
You did? Really?
Yeah. Yes. And it impacted a friendship, a dear friendship, because their spouse was like, nope, I can't. And I don't even, I'm not even one to be talking about political
right.
things.
Right.
Honestly.
Right.
I mean, sorry, but I don't have the tenacity for that.
Right. It's really,
but I did say what I believed and yeah, it impacted that.
Right. 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 And people are struggling with that. I had a great guest on some months ago, Dr. Schaefer. She wrote a book, I Love You, But I Hate Your Politics. How to, yes, how you've got to put that friendship and connection way above politics. You know what I'm saying? Don't let what you believe in destroy a friendship. I mean, that's not kosher.
Or a relationship. Some people were taken out of the will, their parents' will.
Mm.
Seriously. I mean,
right, right, right. So it's totally disheartening. And if you're sitting there just trying to figure out yourself, how am I supposed to feel or do? What am I supposed to do with all of this? One of the things that I would suggest that you do is to talk with someone, let it out, whether you write it out, scream it out in your room. Don't let it sit there, because when it sits there, it builds up and it can turn into fact. Which I've had happen. It can turn into anger, rage.
Yeah.
It can turn into some people just not eating at all or just too scared to, you know, move around, depression. And that's not what we want to happen. And so one thing about this show, we want to enlighten and empower. That's what bringing intimacy back is about, empowering. Yes. So if you're feeling that, you got to let it out in a healthy, healthy manner. What are your thoughts?
My thought is that if we can allow safe places for other people to believe differently and express themselves and just know that it's personal, that
right.
then that's all we can do is what we believe to be right.
Mm-hmm.
And know that people will disagree. And I'm sure, you know, in the same thing, and if we disagree and we share we're not going to believe the same on everything. And when we take a different alternative point of view, even like even this morning's meeting, we some of us had different alternative, but it was fun. That was a lively discussion.
Right.
You know, and it felt really safe because we all respected one another. So mm-hmm. all that we can do is just say, hey, if we get into this where there's a difference, then you just say, hey, you know, I don't understand, but I'm going to respect you because I care for you.
Yeah. You know, one thing that's helped me, because I know someone may ask, well, how can you sit there and listen to someone from another point of view? But what has helped me, I realize that I was born this a certain color, a certain way, and living in a certain area. Okay. But I always say to myself, what if I was born in a different country? What if I was born white? What if I was born in a rural area? What was I born in a, you know, in a pickup truck and had these other kind of parents? Yes, yes. I would be a whole different person. You know what I'm saying? I may have a different religion, may different thoughts, different this and that. So I do realize that how I was born, how I grew up, impact my way of thinking. And I try to be open as much as possible. Yes, yes. And I, you know, work on that. So I'm able to put myself in someone else's shoes and say, you know, if I was born like that, I may be that same way.
You said earlier that you were from Florida, but when we were prepping and stuff, yes. You're like, hey, you know, can you hear this? Your heater was on. And you're like, I'm a Florida girl. Well, I just got back from Michigan, and that was one frigid environment.
Yes.
You know, it was 6 degrees and I went up there and I went, wow, now I remember where I'm from.
Right.
And I wasn't even cold.
Right.
But you were talking about if you were, you know, white and you were, you know, born in a truck, I'm like, man, how did she know? How did she know? You just described my life, but we have such different backgrounds.
Right.
And it's really true. I wasn't born in a truck. I was probably conceived in one, but either way, we just enjoy other people and respect their views and allow that safe place. And mm-hmm. that's what we have to do in our country. Mm-hmm. And it is heartbreaking. I have no words. I just have no words. But I did feel some fear last night. Mm-hmm. And I just decided I watched what I could in increments. And then I went to sleep.
Okay.
And so sometimes when I pray, I only say one word. When I fall asleep and I have fear, I'll just mm-hmm. say Jesus. Jesus. And I'll just fall asleep saying one name.
Awesome. You know?
And sometimes you can't even say one name. You don't even know how to pray. It's okay. Right. And if you're just pissed off at God, and yes, I did say that, that's okay too. Because you said earlier, Dr. April, you said, what about the people that say, is there really anybody in control? And if so, why would they allow this?
Right. Mm. What and is your word? What's your word of the year?
My word of the year?
Yeah.
I don't have one yet.
Okay.
I haven't stumbled upon it. Okay. I did name my Jeep, but there was one that came to my mind, but it's not connecting. It's enthusiasm.
Okay.
But it's not connecting yet. So I'm still on the look for it. Hopefully I'll have it by the end of next week.
Okay, that's fine. Yes. And so for the end of next week, for our upcoming shows, we have some exciting people coming for our shows in January. Yes, yes. But for next week, we have Dr. Carrie Yaza, and it's called Finding Your Voice, which I'm looking forward to. And then we have on January 21st, Sherry, You Are Designed for More. And then on the 28th, we start getting into the love thing of February and 50 plus flavors of erotic love with David Essel. So yes, definitely.
There's 50 flavors of erotic love.
Yes.
Wow. Are we going to have more than one episode? Multiple episodes?
We'll see. We'll see how that rolls. Yes. Yeah. So just want to say mention our sponsors. Thank you so much, Adam Adams, our new partnership with Pink Kangaroo. We, of course, if you're interested in supporting the American Nursing Foundation, they have a Corona Response Fund for nurses. So please think about that. And if you like what you see, please make sure you follow us on YouTube, like and share and subscribe. And if you've enjoyed this show and you want to see more Bring Intimacy Back episode, check out our website at www.bringintimacyback or follow us on YouTube, Facebook, iTunes, Spotify, all the other things. Yes. Thank you so much, Dr. Kelly. And I look forward to continue every week out these discussions with guests.
I know. I'm loving it. And I really want to encourage people that are viewing to not only like and subscribe, but ask questions. Send in questions through the media components.
Okay, awesome. Thank you.